Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Friday, September 10th, 2021. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours talking about teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools were made available absolutely free through the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice on the website at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the red and white bullseye or the link in the upper left-hand corner of most pages that says Start Here, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? That chapter of that book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool's called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Worksheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for over 17 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships. And a tool that I can use anytime I get a negative emotion to help me turn that into part of the infallible guidance system that each of us has been given. You can also download the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. Click it, download it, copy it off, and use it as often as you'd like. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows like this one where people have been either stepped through that process or offered powerful testimonials about how the actual application of that tool in their life has improved the quality of their life. And you can also go to your app store and type in the three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness, and get access to a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. And we hope people do that soon and often because that tends to stir up comments, questions, answers, testimonials, etc. And if you have any of those, you can call us at 563-999-3581 and press 1. And that'll put a question mark by your phone number. And we'll announce you by your area code. You can also email tjh@mindshifters-academy.org or jeanie@whyagain.org, whyagain.org. We're going to get into an interview with Dr. Andrew Pleaner, but today, to begin the show, we're doing the Course in Miracles lessons from the workbook. Today is lesson 253. It says, my true self is ruler of the universe. Commentary reads, it is impossible that anything should come to me unbidden by myself. Even in this world, it is I who rule my destiny. What happens is what I desire. What does not occur is what I do not want to happen. This must I accept, for thus am I led past this world to my creations, children of my will, in heaven where my holy self abides with them and him who has created me. You are the capital S self whom you created, offspring, creating like yourself and one with you. Myself, which rules the universe, is but your will in perfect union with my own, which can but offer glad assent to your will, that it may be extended to itself. And Pam Grout, in her Course in Miracles experiment book, lesson 253, is titled, Tweak, and Ye Shall Find. She quotes Micah True El Caballo Blanco as saying, when you act out of love, good things happen. Pam writes, when I ask, quote, can, close quotes, and, quote, will, close quotes, questions, can I make more money or will I find my soulmate? My mind relies on old lessons from the past. It leafs through my catalog of beliefs and concludes, probably not. This doesn't look promising. Anytime I access reality with the question, can I do something, I consult an old reality in my mind. I access old beliefs that my ego has long told me are facts. Things like, quote, human beings are only capable of doing A, B, and C, close quote. When lesson 253 says, banish the old ABCs with the new HOW, simply add these three letters to your question. How can I make more money this year? How will I find my soulmate? These questions are vastly different questions that provide vastly different results. When we add HOW, we enlist the aid of Holy Spirit, who is more than happy to show us. Its specialty is bypassing the absolutes, snubbing its nose at those damned asshats who pretend to know everything. HOW allows me to be still and open to a brand spanking new possibility. How will I make more money? How will I find my soulmate? So that's our Course in Miracles lesson and our Course in Miracles experiment commentary from Pam Grout. And I have the honor of introducing, so I can share with you, an interview I did earlier this year with Dr. Andrew Pleaner. And Dr. Andrew Pleaner is an integrative psychiatrist, and he's the founder and director of the Same Here Psych Alliance, to be found at sameheareglobal.org, all one word, S-A-M-E-H-E-R-E, global, G-L-O-B-A-L. He is the founder and director of the Same Here Psych Alliance, and prior to his work with Same Here, he had been involved in humanitarian efforts, including co-creating and directing a makeshift psychiatric trauma center on the island of St. Martin during Hurricane Irma in 2017. The clinic served as the main source of medical treatment and a shelter for cities, the cities of Kaupokoi and Mahau. From the time of impact of the hurricane throughout the military evacuation, he was featured in Newsday and Central Florida Lifestyle magazine for these efforts. Then in 2019, he founded Regional Psychiatry to serve Central Florida with an integrative approach to patient care. Dr. Andrew Pleaner is a diplomat of the American Board of Psychiatry and Neurology and a fellow of the American Institute of Stress. And I had the pleasure of interviewing him for the On Your Mind podcast hosted by Journey's Dream. And there is a wonderful kind of a synergy between the Journey's Dream model, which is a not-for-profit that's trying to work to rewrite the narrative on mental health to one in which mental health optimal health and well-being is possible and expected for everyone. And the same here, global, which is a resource and a hub for people who do holistic, integrative, functional medicine approaches to mental health issues. And we encourage you to check out both the websites, journeysdream.org and sameheareglobal.org, and learn more about both of these not-for-profits that are working to help change the way we approach and treat and move through mental health challenges in our lives. So without further ado, here is the Dr. Andrew Pleaner interview.
Dr. Pleaner, thank you for being here. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you so much for having me here, Timothy. Really, really appreciate it.
Well, the Journey's Dream seems very aligned with Same Here, and I'd love to hear how you got into the work you're doing and what drives your passion for it.
Yeah, sure, Tim. So a little bit of my background. I'm an integrative psychiatrist. I have a practice out in Central Florida, and my real motivation to get into the space really came about from childhood experiences. My father is a functional family practitioner who had an emphasis on lifestyle medicine and weight loss and nutrition. And he used to always tell me at a young age, I used to shadow him frequently, people would come into his practice overweight and, they would be on cholesterol-lowering medications, and then they would develop insulin resistance due to the weight and maybe put on diabetic medications. They would develop sleep apnea, and then they would feel fatigue and eventually be diagnosed with depressive symptoms and, start being put on multiple psychotropics. And they would come to his practice, and he used to always tell me, does anybody actually help, get the weight down and work on the lifestyle medicine so that they don't actually need all these medications in the first place? It always really resonated with me watching him coach them, to weight loss and put them on nutritional plans. And he was very big into the whole brain-gut connection back in the 80s when this was something that nobody was ever really thinking about. And he would start to take people off the medications or at least lower the dose. And I used to watch the mood symptoms start to really change. And it really made me aware, even at a young age, that there's a big connection between lifestyle and the way we think, feel, and function. And then when I was a little bit older, we took a trip to Africa and we went to Kenya and Tanzania. And it was an amazing, amazing trip. But on the way home from that, my mother ended up getting sick. And, just wasn't getting better. She was having indigestion, upset stomach, and we ended up taking her to a doctor, and she was diagnosed with a parasitic infection and was put on antiprotozoans and started to, what we thought, get better. And then for the next 2.5 years, she lost tremendous amounts of weight. Didn't matter how much she ate, she just kept losing weight. She was fatigued, malaise, couldn't get up out of bed, brain fog. I watched her deteriorate, and she got every single test in the book medically, and every single test was coming back normal. And she was diagnosed with mental health issues and started seeing practitioners and was prescribed medications, and nothing really seemed to be getting better. And I was really watching her just struggle to do anything. And eventually we got in touch with the African consulate, and they put us in touch with a Dr. Kevin Cahill, who used to oversee the United Nations Tropical Disease Program. And he ended up seeing her and actually that same day diagnosed her with another parasite that went undiscovered all those years. And she ended up being treated for that. And I slowly watched all of her symptoms get better and resolve. There's just this amazing connection between how physical symptoms can really cause mental health issues and how stress and trauma can certainly cause medical issues. And as I ended up going into medical school, I made up my mind that I wanted to be a psychiatrist, but I wanted the focus to be on mind-body connection. And I think watching all those struggles that, I had gone through, watching my mother get sick and just the weight of all of that, and my parents ended up separating as I was going into college, and just the weight of all of that, I started to experience physical health issues myself, light sensitivity, fatigue, brain fog, just loss of interest. My grades were, you know, on par, and, you know, I was getting all A's and got into medical school and still did extremely well. But, you know, because I didn't really meet this criteria for disorder, you know, because I was high functioning, but I was having all these physical health symptoms, when all these tests came back negative, I just assumed that it wasn't mental health related. But as I started studying the mind-body aspect and learning the impacts of stress and trauma has on psychological processes and how that leads to hormonal imbalances and inflammation and changes to the neural circuits and how that impacts the way we think, feel, and function, I started to realize that it's stress-related, and I started going on a mission of wellness and lifestyle and diet and exercise and getting into modalities, whether different styles of breathing and mindfulness, and just kind of just started me on my whole journey towards an integrative path. You know, took certification courses through the Leslie Korn Institute, and really started to recover. And, you know, I think that it's almost a common story that you hear amongst integrative providers. Everybody has their own story. And, hopefully that gives a little bit of my background as to why I got involved with this space.
Well, it's exactly the kind of story that we're used to hearing from integrative providers. Not all of them have, you know, their own illness, but Dr. Mark Hyman tells a similar story where he had, you know, all kinds of physical problems that the current medical model couldn't provide any solution for, and that's what drove him to get into the functional and integrative medicine area. So it's wonderful to hear that you were able to turn it around and that the situation for your mother is able to turn around. And now you're practicing as a functional medicine psychiatrist. Can you let me know, in your definition, let our listeners know, how you would give meaning to that? How do you talk about that in a direct way with patients as the difference between you and somebody who doesn't call themselves a functional psychiatrist or integrative psychiatrist?
Yeah, so I refer to myself as an integrative psychiatrist, and definitely I utilize a lot of the principles of functional medicine as well. But the main difference is that, you know, if we're speaking from the conventional model has been very heavily based off of diagnosing, based off of the DSM criteria. And, you know, if you have 5 out of 9 of these symptoms, you have this diagnosis. If you have 4 out of 9 of these symptoms, you do not. You're perfectly fine, healthy. There's nothing going on, right? And medication management has been one of the primary, you know, sources for treatment. Well, the integrative model really looks at the whole person. It looks at how medical conditions actually impact mental health and how stress and trauma actually can impact the body, causing medical issues. And really learning mind-body connection about how challenges that we go through in life, you know, on top of genetics and lifestyle, how does that really impact psychological processes, affecting things like ruminating thoughts and cognitive fusion and lack of psychological flexibility? And what does that actually do to the body? What does that actually do hormonally to the body? What does our body start releasing when that happens? And what happens when we start shifting the balance between a normal balance of fight or flight and rest and digest response towards fight or flight response? And when the nerves in the body that want to slow everything down start to become neglected and shrunk, there leads to consequences. And that starts to impact our digestive rhythms and our circadian rhythms, our ultradian rhythms, and can't absorb, you know, the proper nutrients anymore. We can't make the proper neurotransmitters anymore. And they could explain all these different concepts to the clients. And when you start looking at it that way, you realize that mental health is not a binary topic of sick versus healthy. It's not this, like, you know, straight line where if you either have disorder or you're perfectly fine. It's a continuum. And maybe the stress and trauma starts to change your nervous system and your body to the point of getting disorder, or maybe it's manifesting in low reaction time, poor decision making, fatigue, missing free throw shots. And then what are all the different ways that we can help push these processes back towards pre-trauma states using various non-medication modalities in combination with conventional modalities? It's just about knowing that there's other ways to really get to the source. So whether we're talking about diet and lifestyle or micronutrients or alternative ways outside of meds to regulate sleep, it could be as simple as recommending blue light blocking glasses to help increase melatonin at nighttime, because we're on all these screens all the time, and you know how we can start utilizing B-complex vitamins in the morning, or you know B12 in the morning, and what are many different botanicals that we can use as alternatives to medications that are a little bit more natural. And so to me, it's really looking at how the underlying medical conditions are affecting our body and how we can actually start to treat that to actually improve our mood, learning how nutrition actually affects our body, and really learning how stress and trauma actually impacts the nervous system, and really working on all three of those buckets and utilizing conventional tools and tools beyond pharmacology.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And so at somewhere along the line, you're decided to be the founder and director of Same Here Psych Alliance. Can you tell us about that entity and what you're hoping to do with that?
Yeah, so I'll give you the backstory on Same Here. I mean, the mission of Same Here is to change the way mental health is perceived and practiced on a global scale. We're a collective entity of celebrities and influencers and everyday people and CEOs and practitioners and star experts, advocates, all really holding hands saying that mental health is not a topic just for the 1 in 5 that are labeled with mental illness. It's a topic for 5 in 5. This is something that we all go through because we all face challenges in life, whether it's divorce, breakups, job losses, or what everybody's going through right now with COVID-19. And, you know, these experiences impact us on this continuum, maybe to the point of disorder or maybe to the point of lack of wellness. But it's certainly just like physical health. We all have mental health, and we should be proactive about it. And we're all holding hands with all these different advocates championing Same Here, which is the American Sign Language sign with thumb to the chest, pinky pointing out. It means I've been through a challenge that's impacted my body. You've been through a challenge that impacts yours. To relate to each other, the way a soldier who is in war, the way his neural circuits are impacted, it's not so different from the way my neural circuits were impacted watching my mother deteriorate and when I went through my own struggles when my parents separated. Not so different from somebody that loses a child from SIDS or a boxer that's 11-0 and gets knocked out for the first time and is now having ruminating thoughts every time he steps into the ring. Maybe it manifests differently, but the circuitry involved is rather the same. We're part of the same tribe. We didn't know it. Hence this concept of Same Here. And it's a movement that's spreading across the U.S. and now global, really showing that this is a topic for everybody. And that's what really breaks down stigma. The origins is it all was derived from a personal lived experience. Eric Hewson is the founder of the Same Here Global Mental Health Movement. He's a sports exec. He had worked in the sports industry for many years with the New Jersey Devils and the Phoenix Suns. And eventually he landed his dream job with the Florida Panthers, an NHL hockey team out in South Florida. And he was really brought in to become the CEO of this company. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, he was just stopped in his tracks with debilitating physical issues, which we now know is mental health, but just to show he had no idea. He never had any past history, quote unquote, of mental health history. He had never seen a psychiatrist or a therapist. He had no idea what this topic was. And all of a sudden, he was having brain fog and malaise and couldn't put together sentences, couldn't have a single original thought, as he actually states it. Couldn't remember the middle names of his siblings, and he had no idea. His automatic thought was that he was having a brain tumor, and he ended up taking a step down just to get the medical workup, thinking that they would find something. Everything came back negative, and then he ends up referred to a conventional practitioner, he ends up leaving that first appointment with five different psychotropics. But, you know, I guess sort of thinking what we see in, you know, commercials, you know, you're sick, you take an antibiotic, you get better. Antidepressants sounds quite similar. He thought that this was the normal way to do it and that he would get better. And just 2.5 years ends up going by and he's put on over 50 different psychotropics, thinking that he's doing everything that there is to really work on this, laying in bed, staring at the ceiling, going through all these side effects of these medications, seeing doctors, doing a 4-week washout, trying new combinations. Just 2.5 years goes by. He has to permanently leave his position. Eventually, he's told that he has treatment-resistant mental illness. So he ends up getting TMS therapy. And then eventually ends up going to a hospital and is told by the head of the hospital that he's literally has tried every single thing that there is. His last resort is shock therapy. And, you know, this is a big part of our movement because he was terrified to hear last resort. It wasn't shock therapy. It was this idea that when shock therapy didn't work out for him, he believed that his life was over. There was no hope. And when you tell somebody this is your last resort, you take away hope. When you tell people that there's all these different modalities out there that can get to the source, give hope. And part of our movement is to make sure nobody ever has to hear those words ever again. He ends up leaving Florida. He's living with his parents out in New York. And parents are in the school industries, father's a principal, mother's a teacher. They end up getting connected to an integrative psychotherapist and, you know, just blown away by the work that she does. Says, Eric, you have to try this. And he was skeptical, ends up giving it a shot. And she's the first one that really explains this concept of breathing and how when we're stressed for such a long period of time, there's this nerve that starts to lose tone, and we could actually stimulate this nerve by doing these rhythmic breathing exercises. And we could start communicating with our brain through these rhythms to tell our brain that everything is safe, and how we could actually improve digestion and lower heart rates and reduce inflammation. And she was the first person to explain this. She's also the first one that started the conversation with, Eric, tell me about your life, instead of, what are your symptoms? He ends up to explain this concept about how his brother, his whole entire life, was in and out of hospitals with cancer. His older brother had leukemia, ended up going into a coma, came out of the coma, went into septic shock. Father had to donate a kidney. Cancer kept coming back. He was deteriorating. Several of his friends later on in life ended up dying of heart diseases. And the thing is, he had zero idea that this was ever a topic that was impacting him, because he thought that stress and trauma is something only for military soldiers. It was his brother that was going through everything. He had no idea that every single time he was driving home, that he was having automatic thoughts of, what if the cancer is stage 4, that was actually doing something physical to his body. He had no idea that every time he would see an ambulance drive by, having automatic thoughts of, is that going to my house, instead of, is that going to somebody else's place? He had no idea that this was starting to build up in him. And over time, he ended up having this breakdown. So this is the first person that really opened up the door for them that even watching somebody else go through a challenge could actually impact you physically. And there's actually modalities that we can do outside of medications that actually help strengthen certain circuits in the body that are impacted from this. And this is the reason why you feel the way that you do, because of all these accumulated experiences. So he ends up taking the Art of Living course founded by Ravi Shankar. He ends up doing it for 3 days. Learns about the Sudarshan Kriya and multiple other breathing modalities. And he ends up sticking with this for about 30 days. The course is 3 days, but he sticks with it for about another 30 or maybe 40 days. He starts to notice a difference. And he ends up from there getting connected to an integrative pioneer, Dr. Richard Brown, out in New York, faculty for Columbia. And he goes on to really explain the education of mind-body connection, about how the stress and trauma disrupts all these neural circuits, leading to hormonal imbalances, inflammatory changes. He goes into polyvagal theory, explains him about brain-gut connection, and educates him on all these different supplements outside of prescriptions. And he ends up managing his meds. He's still taking medication till this day, but now on a much lower dose.
You were talking about how the founder of Same Here got hooked up with this pioneer in integrative medicine.
Yep. Okay.
After he'd done that, you know, he took the 3-day living breathing course and extended it for 30 or 40 days, and then eventually. So who did he get hooked up with after that?
Yep. So he ended up getting connected with Dr. Richard Brown, pioneer in the space. He's faculty over in Columbia's program, author of The Healing Power of the Breath, definitely a must read. And he went in to really explain the depths of mind-body connection, how it really physically changes the body, and then educated him on multiple ways to heal outside of prescription medication, various supplements and dietary and lifestyle changes. He was able to lower his psychotropic medication and put him on, you know, various supplements, and then taught him ways to heal outside of breathing, taught him the concepts of Qigong meditation, different various styles of yoga. He learned about tension and trauma releasing exercises and EFT and various non-medication healing modalities, otherwise called complementary alternative. We call them STAR exercises. And he ends up going on this retreat to Indonesia, goes into more depth about all of this, and really starts to feel better. When he comes back, he connects the dots on three concepts. One concept is, for 2.5 years, every single person was telling him all about medications, and when that doesn't work, you have TMS and shock therapy as your last resort, only to then find out that there's a million other options out there that nobody had ever explained to him before. The second concept, as we mentioned earlier, is that even watching somebody else go through a challenge can actually impact your mental health directly, then who on this planet isn't impacted in some way when we think about watching others go through breakups and job losses and divorces and, what, like we said, what we're all going through here with Corona. If going through a challenge directly or watching somebody else go through a challenge can impact you on a physical level, then why do we see on nonprofits all around the world that 1 out of 5 are at risk of mental health issues? Why isn't it a 5 in 5 topic? And why aren't we learning about all these non-medicative ways to heal that are safer and much more effective? And why aren't we doing this at a young age for resiliency purposes? We certainly do that with physical health. We don't wait for plaque to just build up in our bodies before we start exercising and eating right and eating organic. Why aren't we doing that with our central nervous system? So he shares a story on LinkedIn about 3 years ago now, and it gets read over 150,000 times within 3 days. It gets over 500 missed calls from as far as New York to China, and the commonality on all these calls is nobody was talking about disorder. Everybody was talking about a lived experience that they had been through. And, you know, whether it was watching somebody go through an illness to having a breakup and getting remarried, but still not truly feeling like they're over their ex, regardless of what their physical symptoms were currently, they were all talking about the root underlying causes, the challenges in their life. Maybe it manifested later on, you know, and, you know, to the point of disorder or anywhere on that continuum. So we decided to form this organization, Eric did, to get away from just focusing on disorder and more on the root underlying causes, the challenges. I was able to get various people in the sports industry because that was the background, Major League Baseball players, NFL, NBA players, musicians and DJs and actors and actresses to all share a vulnerable story of a challenge that they've been through or watched somebody else go through. We call it the Same Here Stories. And collectively, they refer to it as the Same Here Celebrity Alliance. People started to tune into our website to read these stories of celebrities, and our audience began to climb over social media. Eventually, we let everyday people share stories. They're called Same Here Heroes. And they started to reach out and say, look, we understand, we're starting to get this, that maybe this is a topic for everybody, 5 in 5. We all go through these challenges, but how do we learn ways to build resilience so that this you know, just like plaque doesn't build up in the arteries. So the stress and trauma doesn't build all the way up in the central nervous system, or at least we can use these ways to complement the medication ways. And that's when I really ended up getting connected with Eric. I was practicing integrative psychiatry out in Florida and then doing work with somebody that was connected to the organization, a mutual friend, I guess you can call it, ends up connecting Eric and I. Eric and I end up having a 2.5-hour conversation. We end up realizing that we're both from the same town in New York. I actually went to the same high school, just about 6 years apart, never knew each other in the high school, but it was just very serendipitous feel. We wanted to bring awareness. We had this idea, let's bring awareness to these non-medications, healing modalities. People want this. Eric had no idea any of this existed. It's not taught in medical school. It's not taught in residency. 7 billion people on the planet. We seem to be getting an audience. How do we bring awareness that these modalities exist? But we wanted to get away from calling these modalities complementary or alternative, because some people will say, you know, I don't want to try something complementary or alternative or holistic. I want to go to where the science is, you know, where the medications are. And the word alternative also bothered us, because these modalities have been around a lot longer than conventional, you know, modalities. So we ended up coming up with this acronym called STAR. STAR stands for stress and trauma, the things that build up in our nervous system, active release and rewiring exercises. Or we call it the gym for the brain. We all know all the different various exercises for your physical health. These are the exercises for the central nervous system. And we were able to get the leaders in the space of specific STAR modalities to come join and be part of our organization, whether Stephen Hayes, the inventor of ACT Therapy, representing ACT Therapy for our organization, or Amy Weintraub, representing yoga, or the founders of Accelerated Resolution Therapy, or the founder of the Othmer Method of Neurofeedback, or the inventor of AlphaStim CES, Aromatherapy, and Qigong. And people can click on these profiles, read the bio of the STAR expert, but then learn the science behind why these modalities help. How does integrative breathing modalities help the nervous system? How does it actually impact the vagus nerve? What is the vagus nerve? How does that help improve digestion and reduce inflammation? What does havening do on the amygdala? What does Qigong do on meridian points? What is a meridian point? Why should we start utilizing all of these things? And if you think about physical health, if you live the sedentary lifestyle, Tim, for years, just like multiple muscles in the body would atrophy, wouldn't you just do a singular modality for the rest of your life, like go on a treadmill every single day? Because what about biceps and triceps and cardio? Multiple parts of your body needs to be worked on. And what about nutrition? It's the same thing. When we undergo these challenges for so many years, multiple architectural pathways are disrupted. Why should we learn about a singular modality? Why aren't we learning about many different modalities? And even if they're the same, I might prefer bench press, you might prefer push-ups, right? So let's just show all these modalities. People can build what's called a mental health toolbox. And then just we kept reverse engineering these concepts, where the next step was, how are people going to be connected to providers that understand these concepts? Because right now, as Dr. Richard Brown understood this to Eric, but, you know, he had such a long wait list to get in. How are people going to be able to connect with providers around the world that could educate them on these things so that they don't have to wait 2.5 years staring at a ceiling like Eric did from day one? They can learn about mind-body connection, learn about total patient care, learn about ways to get to the source, whether they're at the point of disorder or they're just trying to maintain wellness and they're looking for a place to turn just to look, learn about mental health. We came up with the name, the same here, Psych Alliance, to be inclusive of integrative psychologists, psychotherapists, psychiatric nurse practitioners, psychiatrists that all study mind-body connection. And, you know, several of the members in our alliance, you know very well, like Lila Masumi, that chairs the American Psychiatric Association's Integrative Caucus. Dr. Richard Brown, his wife Patricia, are founding members of this. Will DeVere, that runs the IPI Institute out in in Colorado, the most comprehensive integrative training program globally. Nosheen Ranjivar, that directs the integrative training fellowship program out in Tucson, Arizona. Leslie Korn, world pioneer in integrative modalities in our continuing education courses. And then Nishi Bhopal, who you interviewed just not that long ago. And then through this, it just became this mission to form a global directory. So we've been putting together integrative providers all over the United States, and we're actually about to launch now the International Psych Alliance with leaders out in the Netherlands and Portugal and Norway and Guatemala and Canada and just various countries. And to be consistent with this five and five, just like all the celebrities and the influencers and everyday heroes share a vulnerable story, all the members of the Psych Alliance also share a challenge that they've been through or have watched somebody else go through. So wherever anybody is in the world that's looking for total patient care, they can come right to this network that's being built and get straight to the source.
Wonderful. Wonderful at many levels. And the website, sameheareglobal.org, that contains all of these things like the Star Alliances and the Star Exercises and those experts, beautifully laid out, easy to navigate. And people can go there, and even from the front page, you've got, especially on the mobile app, it loads up with, you know, the Same Here Heroes and Hero of Today. And so I love the inclusive nature of it. Certainly I love the idea that you're pulling together these major resources for some of the traditional medicines and integrate it with, you know, the scientific validation. And this is just downright exciting. It's very, very exciting. How long have you been putting together the Star Alliance?
So I got involved, like the organization as a concept was developed 3 years ago. That's when Eric shared his story, and it became just this movement based off of the vulnerability, the story that he shared, and how he just laid it all out. And it became about forming these networks of the celebrities and everyday heroes. And I got connected about 2 years ago. We started working on building out the Star Network. The Star Network is still evolving. It's still growing. We're still introducing. We just got an Ayurveda specialist that's going to be up on the website. We just featured Bonnie Kaplan representing micronutrients through the work that she does out in Calgary. And this is still a growing network as we continue to hold hands and get leaders in the space to come together. As far as the Psych Alliance goes, we launched it last May, the founding members. And we've been growing out the directory ever since. It's been all word of mouth. People are reaching out to get involved. And what's exciting is that we're laying out a pathway now where conventional practitioners can learn about the integrative techniques and be featured on the website. So a lot of conventional practitioners are calling saying, you know, would love to be involved. How do we get on the website? How do we learn about this? Would love what you guys are doing. We now have, you know, resources where they can get training, whether it's through the IPI, whether it's through Dr. Leslie Korn's Institute, whether it's through Nosheen Ranjivar's fellowship program. And then they can get the training in these models, be featured as part of the network. From growing out these networks together, it's led to collaborations with numerous organizations, all about culture change, five and five, continuum model, integrative modalities to be used for resiliency purposes. We have a K-12 program where we're partnered out with 30 school districts out of New York. We were our programs and our curriculums are in many different countries overseas through our partner program, Beluga. These are all culture changing programs where, you know, we get celebrities and influencers to share vulnerable stories, work to build student-led mental health clubs. using our Scale app technologies to improve social and emotional communication between teachers and the students, not just for the one or two students that seem to be acting differently, they get referred to a guidance counselor, but to make it part of health in general, asking everybody, where do you feel on this continuum scale? Are you thriving? Are you gliding? All the way to, are you struggling? And then being able to, within this program, share things that are going on in your life that might be contributing to that. And you can start to form connections as I go through challenges in life, directly or indirectly, it actually impacts where I am on this, you know, continuum. We work to build out STAR exercise rooms in schools. So just like people learn about push-ups and jump rope and sit-up for heart health, you can start to learn about breathing, tapping, and havening for mental fitness. We partnered with the Department of Defense. We've been in collaboration with numerous colleges from USC all the way through Cornell. We are partnered with the NBA. We just announced our partnership with the Golden State Warriors, building a warrior, the Mind, Body, Spirit series, where, you know, we're getting multiple members of these alliances to show the science behind how these challenges actually impact us and share a STAR exercise with the players, with the fans, with the communities. And these aren't one and done events. These are ongoing year long culture changing of, you know, programs. We just partnered with the NFL Players Association. So a lot of awesome things are starting to really go from a movement, and our goal is that one day, as I believe you agree with, mental health will be really looked at the same way we do physical health. You know, when it comes to physical health, you know, there's a gym on every single corner. People work out. We learn about from our dentists and our primary care physicians what happens if we don't brush our teeth. This plaque is going to build up and eventually lead to periodontal disease. And we learn about all these different wellness modalities. We learn about what happens if we eat bad food and what it does for the body. And we don't wait. We don't just learn that there's this thing called periodontal disease. And if you don't have this, you do not need to do anything. Keep living your life fine. But that's the message that we're telling the 4 out of 5 group, the 80% of the population that feels that they're not at the point of disorder. They feel that this is not a topic that applies to them, even though their circuits are being impacted. They might be operating at 70% capacity, but why even settle for that? So our goal is to make it so that one day we're as proactive about our mental fitness the same way we are our physical fitness.
Wonderful. Excellent. 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 I remember years ago running across a TED Talk by a psychologist, and the whole idea was emotional hygiene. And he made the very same point you did. I mean, it's an idea whose time has come and hopefully catching on like wildfire. So we've given the website. We've got sameheareglobal.org, and people can find out all they need to know about you on that website. I want to thank you so much for this interview. It's one of the easiest I've had to do. You're very well versed in this, and I'm looking forward to getting the Journey's Dream founders connected with the Same Here founder, as we mentioned in a previous talk. Let's make sure we make that happen.
Yeah.
And I can't thank you enough for the work you do and for taking the time to talk to us here on the On Your Mind podcast. It's delightful. I look forward to following your work and perhaps getting Journey's Dream and Same Here to collaborate in the near future.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Tim. I love the work that you're doing. This is an important part of the mission, bringing awareness to all of this. Would love to collaborate with Journey's Dream. I think to really get this message out there, we have to hold hands with people with like-minded philosophies. Your organization certainly is very much aligned. Would love to see this happen.
Yeah, the idea coming from one of the people who was a seed for the Journey's Dream organization, Dr. Michael Rice, he's been saying for years, we want to get these tools into the minds, hearts, and hands of every human being on the planet. And that's not something one person's going to do.
Exactly. So. Yeah, that's exactly right. And when we start coming together, when we start working collaboratively, that's when we're going to be able to make this change. And it's so important. I think COVID has brought so much awareness to the, you know, to the fact that we actually are impacted. And it's one of the few times where we all went through a global trauma together, every single person on the planet. And now we have all these splinters from this trauma that's inside of us. It's like, even if it goes away, how do we get these splinters out? And, you know, these are the tools.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your time. I look forward to our next connection. Blessings.
Thanks a lot, Timothy. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So welcome to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. Today is Friday, September the 10th, 2021, and our call-in number is 563-999-3581, and press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us, and we love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. And the first hour was, well, Dr. Tim did the first part and then did the interview with Dr. Andrew Plinger. So that was an excellent interview, very knowledgeable young man. So let's wait for just a moment, give Michael time to get on. And we're starting just a little bit early, so that means we have a little extra time for your questions. So I hope that you press one and ask those questions. And in the meantime, I'll invite you to go to our website, which is whyagain.org, and you can scroll around and find all kinds of audios and videos and Michael's book and worksheets for every workshop that we do, and put the tools to work in your life, and you will see a change. So, somebody press 1. Still waiting on Michael to call in. And I'm going to turn on 417. Hello, Miss Judy. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. Since Michael gave me the mind shifter, I've been working on it, and I'm into 60 worksheets on that and had a healing crisis, and I'm through that and pain-free some days. And then, of course, you know what happens. You go back in through it again. But I had a thought while Dr. Tim was on. And,
yes, ma'am.
I know whenever you and Michael give the workshops, that you, one of the first things you do is you have two sides of the board. One side is the side when we're off target, and the other side is when we're on. And I realized that the side when we're off target is when we're living in the past. And the side where we're on target, we're living in the present.
You just defined Satan. Truly, in the Aramaic sense, the word Satan means the resistor, one who misleads. And then there's a conversation in the scriptures where God ostensibly is talking to Satan, and God says, Satan, from whence come you? And Satan says, from going to and fro upon the earth, from going back and forth upon it. What is to and fro, back and forth, but holding on to the experiences of the past? Locked in that, we're in resistance, and then we've always got somebody to blame because, of course, that past situation replicates itself, and always the replicant mind is lying to us. So, yeah, that's you're right on track with that one.
Yeah, well, I hadn't looked at it from that point of view as, you know, just looking at that whole list of things on both sides of the board, the past and the present, and it fits, everything just fits right in. So that's
or
one
Jeannie
of the ways I'm
going to
start
pill
looking
and
at
red
it.
Pill. Yeah, Jeannie likes to quote from the Matrix movie. I understand there's a new Matrix music movie coming out soon, but the red pill or the blue pill? The blue pill, you stay asleep, the right side of the board. The red pill, you wake up to being.
Thank you for the mind shifter, by the way. I'm still working on it. I haven't even gotten halfway through it. And maybe not
That's
even
awesome.
That, because I'm adding other ones in with it. I went down and got me one of these little dollar store general books, notebooks, and I just wrote my mind shifter in that. and then I started numbering the pages, going back and checking to see what it was I was working on. And of course, I'm adding worksheets in there every day, too. But it's really moving, Michael, and I thank you and Jeannie for your work. And just wanted to, I mean, it was so clear about this is the past and this is the present, you know, and it all fits. It just fits. So I'm going to look at it from, I'm going to look at it that way from now on. Whenever I'm feeling off target, I'm living in the past and try to get back to the present as quick as possible. So thank you. And y'all have a great show. And we'll be listening.
right on target. That's an awesome catch, young lady.
By the way, how do I mute?
In the past. Go ahead.
I was going to say, how do I mute whenever I get off? I don't know how to do that.
I'll mute you.
Okay, thank you.
So that past is the place where spiritually, as awake, aware spiritual beings, there can only be the present. And when that present isn't in awareness, and there's a reason they call it the present, because whenever they're there, we're there, there's a gift, there's a present, and that's the presence of love. But when we're not there, that's where Yeshua talked about, let the blind lead the blind, let the dead bury the dead. You know, there's a case where this man wants to, I'm going to come follow you. He said, first I got to go bury my father. You know, in that culture, it was the tradition that a man took care of his father's burial when he died. But his father wasn't dead, so it might have been another 25 years. And Yeshua was like, okay, enough of these excuses. You're not going to get away with this. If you're going to follow me, you're going to come to it right now. Let the dead bury the dead. Let those who are already, you know, lost take care of that. And if you're actually going to do the work, and, you know, most of the world has no interest whatsoever in the work of Yeshua. In fact, most circles where Yeshua's work is spoken of, his name they use is Jesus, and that's not his name at all, but in most circles, there is no interest in the work whatsoever. And in fact, it's the exact opposite. You can't do anything is the message that comes from so many circles that are supposedly Christian. You can't do anything. You have to rely on him. Well, you know, that's a nice, interesting philosophy, but it's Greek philosophy. If you go back and listen to Yeshua, he says, here's what you have to do. And when he said, here's what you have to do, half of his disciples got up and left. And they made up this easy theology that, well, there's nothing you can do. All you have to do is call on him. It's just a simple, flat-out, plain, bald-faced lie. You know, it's just the exact opposite of what the man taught. But, you know, people set up rules and regulations to live by, and then when they live up to those rules and regulations, which oftentimes become much, much more important than what he said was he came to do, and that was to bring us life, that is, to bring us into the presence of love, a whole lot more important than that. You got to follow the rules, and then, you know, you can be superior. And you know, there's so many games that get played when people are stuck in the past, dead, blind. So it's about building the brain cells, the eyes to see and the ears to hear, and waking up and truly, truly entering a transformational process that leads us back to experiencing ourselves and the world in the present as we were created, and that is as the presence of love. So congratulations on doing that piece of work. That's awesome. Any other thoughts for you, Judy? Judy already muted.
Yeah, I will unmute her and see.
Okay, I'm here.
So any other thoughts for you? Does that make sense? Does that fit?
Yes, it does. And it just fits more and more. The more work I do, it's taken years to get even to this point. So, oh, boy. It definitely is a lifetime work.
I understand.
Can you hear me? Oh, okay.
You are loud and clear, young lady.
Okay, good. I was getting ready to go out the door and listen to you as I was going. I'm going to go do my laundry. So I was listening to Dr. Tim's show. I am just amazed at how he, his networking is so wonderful. And I'm so glad that he's part of your show. I mean, part of the podcast there.
We are blessed.
Yes.
Well, any other thoughts for you?
Nope, I'm good.
Awesome.
I am
well, you
good.
Have a blessed one then. Enjoy
Thank
doing
you.
Your laundry.
Thanks both of you.
All right, take care. Well, Ms. Jeannie, do we have anybody else out there in listener land with a hand up or anything happening in the phone queue, or should I just go for the next phase of reading? Why is this happening to me again?
I would go to the reading. We don't have any other hands up. And okay. Since we started early, we are just now at the beginning of our hour.
Right at the top of the hour. Perfect.
Yep.
So we've been talking with Richard about the idea that, you know, we started out a conversation. Pardon me. He kind of told me a story, but he's in a pretty peaceful place. And as I start to query him about his story and what's going on in his world, various levels of upset and disturbance come. And when we move into the arena of talking about sexuality and relationships, he becomes significantly disturbed. And I point out to him that notice that here we are sitting on a nice, quiet, screened back porch in the Ozarks in southern Missouri. It's a beautiful day. And nothing has changed in the world in the 3 hours that we've been sitting here talking. But notice, Richard, that you've been on a roller coaster ride. You've been enraged. You've been sad. You've had tears. You've cried. You've been delighted. You've been touched by understanding. And notice nothing in the external world changed in any way, shape, or form. Now, if you live in a world where you are one moment crying and the next moment happy and the next hour you're sad and then you're angry and then you're rageful, then you want to puke on somebody, then you want to puke on yourself, and notice that all of those changes are changes of energy patterns moving within yourself. The title of this particular chapter in the book, and by the way, you can go to our website and download the book free in several different languages. The title of the chapter is The Body Has a Mind of Its Own. And a lot of people think they're in control of their minds, but all somebody has to do is come along and resonate something painful, and all of a sudden people are flying off the handle and doing all kinds of crazy things. For one reason and one reason only, there is unresolved pain or trauma within. And when you realize what appears to be your mind that serves up pain and trauma from the past, as Judy just pointed out, you're living in the past. The mind of the body is what we call the replicate mind. And replicate means all it can do is replicate whatever's in it. It can't give you anything new. It can't offer you a different experience. It can only replicate what it holds. If you don't like what it holds, you've got to stop having conversations. Well, pardon me, you don't have to. You can carry on with those projection conversations all you like. But if you want to live a life of peace, then you've got to stop having those conversations in your mind. And the way you stop having those conversations in your mind is to remove the content, oftentimes multi-generational content, that never belonged within your mind in the first place. Thoughts based in hate and fear and sadness and grief and rage and vengeance and gossip and slander and condemnation and belittlement and criticism. Thoughts based in that never belonged within a human mind. And when you realize that it's with our thoughts that we create, and you go back and Yeshua says, the power of life and death is in your words. And what are your words? They're but a reflection of your mind energy. Life and death are in the mind energy that you empower, literally, energetically, with your words. Once you realize that and you wake up to the truth of who you are, you begin to remove those energetic patterns. Now, lest someone in the world fool you, to call letting someone else off the hook because your mind is replicating some past trauma from your life or from your generations is a total fraud. Call the act of letting them off the hook forgiveness. This is one that needs to sink in deeply. If you're talking about forgiving them, if you're talking about forgiving yourself, please be aware you are not talking about forgiveness at all. You're talking about a Greek act of pardoning. It can be a very nice thing to do. But when you pardon someone for what's going on inside of you, you have in no way, shape, or form entered into the forgiveness process. But if you call, oh, I forgave him, I let him off the hook for that, forgiveness, then thinking that forgiveness is done, you will not turn to the work of removal of the root of your trauma. And if you never remove the root of your trauma, guess what you're going to get to live? You're going to get to live the title of my book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Or some people, when they call looking for it, call it, Why Are They Doing This to Me Again? Or Why Am I Doing This to Myself Again? The only reason anything is happening again is because through the unresolved mind energy that you hold, you're creating it. So forgiveness is the tool with which you collapse perceptions based in any form of hostility or fear, bring the root energy behind that hostility or fear forward consciously and remove it from your tissue structure. That, my friends, is the act of forgiving. Again, it has nothing to do with letting anybody else off the hook because of what's happening inside of you. It is a technology that is profound in its impact, as Judy just explained. And one of the problems that I see is people don't hang around long enough in the conversation to really truly begin to understand what we're saying. You know, when Judy said, you know, it's taken me this long. Well, Judy's first intensive was about 33 years ago. She was there the first year we were at Heartland. 1989, 32 years ago, I guess that is. And you say, well, Michael, you said yesterday you had been working on some issues that you've worked on your whole life, and here's Judy, 30. Well, if it takes that long, why would I bother? Well, here's why. Let's imagine you are the captain of the largest supertanker in the world. And you're rolling right along in the Gulf Stream at maximum speed. I don't know what the maximum speed of a supertanker is. Whatever it is, let's imagine, you know, the Gulf Stream's carrying you and you're in that current and you're rocking at 40 knots an hour. I don't even know if that's, I'm not a seaman, so, but let's imagine that. And you say to yourself, oh, no, I'm going the wrong way. I need to turn this boat around. Do you think the captain of that supertanker can snap his fingers and turn the boat around? No way, shape, or form. It might take hours to turn that boat around. You say, well, then why shouldn't I be able to turn my life around in hours? Well, you know, he's been at sea for 12 hours and picked up to that speed. He's got to slow it down. He's got to get to zero. He's got to turn it around or make a circle. Guess how long the dynamic of your multi-generational databases mind, your body's mind, has been doing what it's doing. Guess how many people there are? By the time you take mom and dad and mom and dad's mom and dad and their mom and dad and theirs before their and theirs before them, if you go back just 30 generations talking about the inertia, the moving in a direction, just like that super tanker in the Gulf Stream, you're talking about the direction of 1.6 billion people's lives. And unless you've done inner work, I guarantee your life is moving in the direction of mom and dad. And mom and dad's moms and dads. Or it's moving in opposition to, which means it's moving in the same direction. It's only when we get to a still place, a still point, so we call it still point breathing, which incidentally we'll be doing another still point breathing workshop on October the 9th. That'll be our next workshop. To that still point is the place where you can start to turn in another direction. You know, it's interesting, here you go back into the Aramaic language. The word repent is not some word that describes how evil you are and you need to repent of your sins. The word actually means to turn in another direction. Now, a lot of people language, well, you've got to turn away from those evil things. No, you can't turn away from evil. On the level where you're a creator, you've got 360-degree vision. If you try to turn away from it, if you try to fight it, if you try to resist it, as Yeshua said, resist not the evil. He just recreated it. He just got stuck in the stream again. The word repent means to turn toward. So when we can turn toward a different process than the one that most everybody's living in, then everything changes. And we overcome that inertia bound to function out of the generational patterns. So I just pointed out to Richard that the difference between what he's feeling now and what he was feeling when we started is based upon what's happening in his mind. Nothing's changed in the world. And he stepped into a deep processing place. And I've explained that it's going to take some time. And that part of that process, there's going to be a point of overwhelm for virtually everyone when, you know, they're dealing with old realities, old mind structures of inadequacy and inability. And there's a huge demand standing in front of them. It's going to feel like overwhelm at times. So Richard says, okay, I can accept that, but I don't understand why all the confusion. Richard, the nature of thoughts is energy, and they follow the laws of energy. I suspect they have both wave and particle propensities or properties, much like light. If I shine a red light, a blue light, and a green light on a plain white surface, what will you see? Richard says, I see red, I see green, and I see blue light reflecting off the surface. If you shine them one at a time, or if you shine them all on one spot, there'll be a mixing of the colors. He answered with raised eyebrows and a puzzled look. Bear with me, there's a point to this, Richard, I offered. When realities are resonated in a mind, their properties are much like the light. If they surface one at a time, like a single bright light shining on a spot, there will be clarity in the thoughts behind that reality, and confusion will be impossible. However, if several conflicting realities try to surface. You know that one we talked about earlier in this chapter, sex is dirty, save it for the one you love. Boy, get those two going at the same time, and are you going to have confusion? So if several conflicting realities try to surface simultaneously, like the three lights shining on one spot, there will be a mix, a confusion of the thoughts that generate the conflicting realities. Richard, I become aware of a few issues for myself to work out and heal from today's conversation. I'm sure we fired some realities for you to deal with in our interaction. Until you remove the conflicts and clarify your reality structure for yourself, confusion will tend to be the result of such a process. And so recognizing that confusion is one of the steps, you know, you can go back and there's a series of shows that we did on healing crisis and recognizing that, you know, what I'm going to have to face if I'm going to move out of my old hostility and fear-based patterns is whatever's stuck in me that I've been hiding from myself. And so what does the healing process look like? On a physical level, healing looks like any kind of physical symptom you've ever had and low energy. On a mental level, healing looks like any kind of negative feeling that you've ever had and depression. On an emotional level, it looks like any kind of negative emotion that you've ever had. Physical symptoms, low energy. Mental, negative thoughts, confusion. Emotional, negative feelings, and depression. That's just what the healing process looks like. And I don't care how much you don't want to face that, you don't want to deal with that. If you're going to heal, you're not going to have a choice because you're going to get to face what's in there. And when you start facing what's in there, you're going to feel the energetic impact of whatever that particular issue is. It's just part of the process. And Jeannie, I don't know if you happen to have a link to the shows we did on healing crisis, but if so, perhaps you could put them in the notes. And if somebody wants to go back and give a listen, we did a pretty in-depth conversation about the healing process, if anyone wants to, you know, get more clarity on that one. And, you know, everything that we're doing, if you go back and access the 3,000 or 3,500 hours, whatever it is, of shows that are in our archives. And by the way, the best way I know to do that is through the iHeartRadio app. Many of the podcast apps that are out there limit you to 300 hours. And so it'll only show you 300 shows. Well, we've got well over 3,000. But the iHeartRadio app shows you all of those shows, so you can go back and select whatever you want. And, you know, all 3,000 hours are about building the brain cells. And of course, you'll notice that sometimes I repeat myself. But you'll notice that if you go back and listen carefully to what I said last week, and then I repeated one of the ideas from last week this week, it was tied to two different ideas. And next week, I'll talk about it again and be tied to three other ideas. And the next week, I'll bring the same thing up and it'll be tied to two still different ideas. And what we're doing with that whole thing is building brain cells. Remember the file folder effect, how things link together. You can't bring forward perceptual construct in your mind without there being brain cells for every aspect of the complexity of whatever it is that you're wanting to look at. You just can't do it. And the learning process can be a little bit tedious sometimes, but if you keep listening, you'll see how we're linking things so that the mind can bring forward a more complex, a more in-depth perceptual construct that moves us toward living truly as the presence of love in our lives. And that's what we're here to do, is to really, truly recognize ourselves, awaken to who we are as love, and bring that forward, literally incarnating that in our physiology and in our world. So that's what we're here to do. And we're honored that you're part of the conversation. We're excited. We're delighted. It is a blessing to just be with these principles. You know, I feel so blessed that I've chosen to spend my life, and, you know, I'm in about a little better than 50 years of doing this now. And it grows and it grows and it grows. And, you know, as Judy said, at the 33-year point, from a simple mind shifter a couple of days ago, that she's really chosen to dig in and work, a whole new level of understanding, a whole new arena opens up. You go back and you hear the scriptures talk about, hear a little, there a little, with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to you. Now, ostensibly, that's supposed to be the Creator talking to us. But actually, the Creator has only ever spoken one language, and that's love. It's not that the Creator speaks with stammering lips and another tongue. It's that we listen with stammering ears and a blind, darkened set of ears. But, of course, man projects, so that's now the Creator's fault. So as you wake up to the truth of being, and you begin to confront everything in your body's mind that can resonate through the file folder effect, and consistently, persistently apply the tool of forgiveness to remove that hostility, to stop the conversations about how it's about everybody else, to remove it and recognize that it's your own and it's about yourself, then you get to change the whole game of your life. And we're here to help that game to change. And we're delighted you're part of it. So, Miss Jeannie, do we have anything happening in the chat room or anybody out there in the phone queue with a hand up? Of course, if you're listening to one of those stations, and we're syndicated through several different stations, iHeartRadio is one of them. So if you're listening somewhere that we can't see you in our control panel, of course, you can't have a conversation with us. However, if you call into the phone number, 563-999-3581, you'll be listening to the show. And then when you're listening to the show, if you have a question, all you do is push one and we're having a conversation. So, Miss Jeannie, what's happening?
It is all quiet out here. Nobody has a hand up, and there's no questions in the chat room. So somebody press one.
Well, we've just addressed some pretty deep wells, and I can't imagine that anybody could be listening and not have some question or refinement to either ask about or to add to the conversation, or another wrinkle in their process, in their lives, that this can be applied to. And so if you're out there, push one. Let's have the conversation. The whole purpose of the show is to have that dialogue with you. And again, a call-in number, if you're listening on one of those stations we don't see in our control panel, it's 563-999-3581. And it's interesting, Jeannie, I just kind of heard, you know, brain cells firing, heard an echo in my mind of the first time that Aria Rain is our granddaughter, if you're not familiar with her. She's now three, and from the time she was 3 months of age, she spent at least 3 days a week with us. And the first 3 months, her parents were on maternity leave, so they kept her. But since then, she's been with us, and for about the first year, she would literally lay on my arm and my shoulder as I was doing the show. Just about every day she was here. It was just awesome. And so she has been building the brain cells since she was 3 months. You know, boy, I wish I had been. hadn't had to wait a quarter of a century or so to wake up to it. But the echo, as I was saying, the phone number I guess Ari was, I don't know, 12, 14, 16 months or thereabouts. And one day, as Jeannie was giving the phone number out at the beginning of the show, Ari pipes up, 999. So I just kind of heard the echo of her voice in my brain. She's sound asleep right now. She's at the point now where at 3, about radio show time, she's ready for rest. And so she'll actually oftentimes come to Jean. She knows that, you know, her nap time is during the radio show. So she'll come to Jean before the show and say, you know, I want a snack. I want some chocolate milk, and I'm ready to sleep. And she'll just go and lay down and put herself to sleep, and she'll take about a two-hour nap and get back up. And this morning we started the repair of her swimming pool. It's got a little plastic pool's got a leak in it, and we're going to finish that this afternoon and sow some buckwheat seeds in the new garden for a cover crop, get some green manure in this new garden space, and getting it set up and ready for next spring's planting. So our tomato crop has slowed down. We're not getting enough that every 3 days we have to make another batch of tomato sauce. We had that the first few weeks of it going on. So we've got several quarts of this awesome fresh tomato sauce. I don't know how many tomato sandwiches we've eaten, probably 200. Our tomatoes have been very abundant. And they're still coming on. There's still dozens of flowers on the tomato trees. The biggest stalk on our tomato tree is about 11 feet tall now. Last year they were about 5 feet. We've been composting and really enriching the soil, and so it's back. It's up to just over 11 feet now. And so we get to play in the garden and to play with you. So what's on your mind? If I'd been in your hometown, you know, local library or local school, university, high school, church, prison, whatever, community center, and I'd had the conversation I've had so far, if we just start out with Judy's understanding and comments and conversation to where we are now, how many, if I completed this whole conversation, just stepped down off the stage and you were in the audience, would get up and come over and say, hey, Michael, what about? I know that virtually everybody who's listening would do that if I were in your local hometown. And the purpose of the show is for us to have that conversation. And so let's imagine I've just finished this presentation. Your local library, and I'm stepping down into the audience, and as I walk by your table, you grab my arm and you have, what about, how does this work? So what's your question? How can we support you? 3-999-3581. So we could be playing Simon and Garfunkel's The Sound of Silence right now, right, Jean?
Yeah, for sure. I was just thinking when you were talking about nobody has their hand up, so we'll talk gardening. We have harvested several quart jars of dried spices, dehydrated spices, and several tomato sauces, and so we're kind of getting set up for winter and storing up, teaching Aria to pick the strawberry this morning.
And chowed it down in a hurry, along with a couple of fresh tomatoes. I was wondering, you know, maybe there's some gardeners out there that might be able to answer this question. I was looking at where we're going to sow this buckwheat as a cover crop on the two new sections of the garden. And I was wondering, you know, we've got a few herbs left in the smaller garden and the tomato plants. And I was wondering if we could just go ahead and sow the buckwheat in there with those other plants, seeing as how we're so close to the completion of the season. And I don't know. If anybody has an answer to that question, I'd love to hear your thoughts. We're looking to just put a cover crop on it that we can plow back in before winter sets in, and then we're going to use some vetch that we're told is a really good cover crop to overwinter and have it grow early in the spring and then plow back in. So we've got green manure going into a rich. We just put 4,000 pounds of compost on it from the local landfill where they compost leaves and grass. So we're getting ready for winter. And it's interesting, we live in a neighborhood with a lot of homes in it, and it shocks me that people have this place in the front and the back of their houses where they can drill a little hole in the ground, kind of like an oil well, and it will spout up wealth. And with the garbage that's being served in most grocery stores today, it just amazes me that more people, especially, people have been home with COVID, with not working at home and all that, they haven't, why wouldn't you be taking advantage of this wealth that comes from the ground that is really, truly, you can grow it organically with just loaded with nutrition. It's like the root of healthcare, although I know the drug industry's got us convinced that the root of healthcare is drugs. But I invite you to just really do some research, and you'll notice that along with every drug, there comes a little insert that says, here are the diseases that we're going to, now they don't say it this way, but this is the bottom line. Here, take this drug. Here are the diseases we're going to introduce into your body when you take our drug. But this is healthcare. Excuse me, folks. Not healthcare. But what you put in your mouth is an important starting point for your healthcare. And there's lots of documentation of that today, although there are many physicians. Of course, a physician spends years studying how to apply drugs to people's bodies, how to introduce diseases into their bodies. And maybe they'll get 4 or 5 or 6 hours about nutrition, which is the root of health. It's a pretty bizarre world, pretty crazy process we're going through. And how can we support you in your process? What's happening in your world? 563-999-3581. Since Dr. Tim finished early, we're, just past the halfway point, so we've still got 27 or 28 minutes. And I would love to have a conversation. Do you have any other thoughts, Jeannie, on gardening or any other topic?
Well, we had a hand to show
you'd like
up
to
and
share?
I believe it is Miss Julie Matthews from Oregon. Welcome.
Oh, cool. I was thinking about Julie this morning, so hadn't heard from her in several days. Hey, young lady, welcome. Hello, Julie. How are you?
Muted. Now I'm unmuted.
Ah, there we are. You have overcome your mute challenge. Awesome. Welcome.
It's a challenge. I've had to mute myself too much in life. I need to speak out more.
There you go. All right.
And yet I also get guidance to keep my ideas, my good ideas to myself because my need to be heard and have my good ideas approved of, that kind of runs me a little bit. So I'm just pausing more.
Well, we'll
often,
see if
I
we
guess.
Can help by disapproving of some of them for you.
No. Okay, well, yeah, they're all full of fear. I've got fear going on, and I haven't done work yet.
What's happening?
It's coming up. I have old stuff from a brother and his wife thing, about a year old now, not unresolved. I have cramps in my legs, fear about the vaccination, and I have fear I don't know. There's another one. But it's all there. So I need to have, I would like support. And I know I can just do all of the above. So I will be doing that.
So we're here for support.
Thank you.
We're here to help you strengthen your legs, heal your legs, and stand on your own 2 feet with strength and power.
Well, that's a good mind shifter. And let my legs take me where I want to go.
Say again?
And also, let me take my legs or let my legs take me where I want to go instead of a conflict of going or not going. Wow, that's so cool that you made it symbolic instead of COVID's going to get me or the vaccine's going to get me. Thank you. And,
Big breath. What was that one?
Well, I'm trying to get in touch. I kind of created that breath, but I'm also thinking about my this other thing going on with me is my reunion is coming up, my 50th reunion next weekend, not this weekend, the 18th, and my partner doesn't really want to go, which is okay. We finally worked that out. It's okay. And I'm sort of afraid to go. I don't know. I'm having resistance.
So remember our definition of denial. Do you hear the denial in that?
Denial. In me, my
what's
resistance?
What's the definition of denial? What's the definition of denial?
When we try to make it look like it's somebody else.
Yeah. So when I think or speak as though something outside of me is the cause of what's happening inside of me. So now you tell me there's fear and it's caused by the reunion. I have fear of going to the reunion.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm assigning
or
cause.
Is the truth that you have fear and the thought of going to the reunion is what brings it up.
Yeah.
So when you do it that way, then you can start to look at, so what's the root of my fear? Oh, well, you know, I was 12. I can remember when I was terrorized by Johnny, or when I was 17, I remember I was touched inappropriately by Harry, or, you know, I can remember when, you know, Hortense and I were good friends and we had this huge fight, or you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And you can start to see that your fear is linked to, through the file folder effect, to experiences. And when you forgive us to those experiences, then you tend to dissolve your fear. And then wherever you go, instead of fear, it's confidence, connectedness, and the presence of love.
Yeah.
And in that state, your guidance will tell you when and where to go and not to go.
Okay, thank you. So the worksheets I need to do are sadness about my brother and his wife. Okay, that sounds like denial. Okay, sadness is coming up in me about I'm feeling rejected. Let's see. Oh, boy. Okay, I want to see my brother. I want to see my father in this trip when I go down to the reunion. I want to also see my family. And
right.
I'm being blocked by an unforgiveness. I guess I haven't forgiven myself. And I know that.
Well, remember we're going to caution you to never forgive yourself for anything or anybody else. But what is it that you've attached to self that needs to be forgiven to remove that block?
Oh, I think I'm to blame for my brother's not speaking to me.
Huh?
And her not forgiving me. And I don't even know what I did wrong. Yes, I do. I think I know what I did wrong. But still, she reacted so much. And I don't know how to mend it. Yes, I do. I know how to mend it.
You probably know exactly how to mend it. It's just, are you willing? You know, you've got the responsibility communication tool. You've got the commitment tool. You've got the forgiveness tool.
Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't need necessarily her willingness. I do the work inside myself, my willingness, and then I can be an open space of love and listen rather than tell her, you know, everything.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, you clean up the fear in you and you go. She may rant and rave and scream and rage and, you know, whatever. It's her stuff that that's about. And you sit there and you breathe and you go, oh, I can see you're in a lot of pain. I can hold the space for that. I can hold the space for you. And let her do what she needs to do. As long as there's nothing in you to resonate with her pain, you can't be in pain and turmoil.
Yeah.
And if it comes up and you choose to forgive it, then you've just had the opportunity to remove that. Literally is a detriment to your own cellular structure as long as it's held in that particular part of your mind. You know, if I hold a disintegrative energy in my big toe, some medical diagnostician's going to come along and tell me I've got the ABC toe disease. If I take the same energy and I put it in my kneecap, somebody, medical diagnostician's going to come along and tell me I have the ABC kneecap disease. If I hide that dis-ease energy in my lung, my liver, my heart, or my brain, some medical diagnostician is going to come along and tell me I have the ABC disease in my heart, my liver, my lung, or my brain. There's only one disease, and that's an energy that doesn't belong in me. I can pretend it's about something out there. I can pretend it's something wrong with my tissue structure. Or I can recognize that I'm holding an energy that doesn't belong, and I can choose to breathe that energy out. I can choose to free myself of it. I can choose to forgive that energy from my structure. And then my structure will go back to normal, and I'll carry on.
Wow. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to do this. I have time this morning. As soon as we're done with the show, I'm going to do a mind shifter or maybe a short mind shifter that gives me my worksheet. Stand on my own two legs. That was a good one.
Because it's safe and healing.
Okay, wait.
It's safe and healing. For me to open full communication in the presence of whatever your sister-in-law's name is.
In the presence. That means, that doesn't necessarily mean me telling her like it is. It's being a space of love.
That's it. And you can put your brother's name in there as well. You can put your dad's name in there. You can put your own name in there.
Okay, yeah, in the presence of, her name is Omi, my brother is Paul, my dad, and myself. Oh, this will be so good, and it'll open me even for the high school reunion of all the people that I'm going to be streaming in from my past to say hello.
It's like, whoa, how wonderful is it to welcome your past?
Yeah.
Even, you know, I mean, I've met people from my childhood, re-met, you know, over the years, people from my childhood that, you know, we considered each other as enemies. And look at it now, and it's like, you know, what silly crap were we doing back then? You know, there's a story about a guy, and if I remember correctly, he was in Michigan. He was in his late 60s, and he heard that his brother was dying. And he, if I remember correctly, I believe he had diabetes, and so he didn't have a driver's license anymore. And he hadn't talked to his brother in 50 years. He couldn't remember why they weren't speaking. But since he didn't have a driver's license, he literally fixed up his a riding lawnmower, and he drove from Michigan to California to see his brother on a riding lawnmower. Couldn't remember why they weren't speaking. But his brother was dying, and he knew he needed to get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are we doing? What are we doing today that's based in past unresolved dynamics that are senseless in the context of the truth and senseless in the context of us being human beings, being the presence of love? What are we doing to ourselves? And when do we stop? And when do we start treating ourselves as we say we'd like other people to treat us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Okay. This is so good because I see some of these things on the other side of the bridge, but it's going to walk that bridge. Yeah.
So the thought that comes is, I can see you excitedly writing a letter to your brother about how great it's going to be to see him, and to your sister-in-law, and to your dad.
Oh.
How awesome it's going to be to connect after all this time.
Mm-hmm.
And how important each of them are to you, and how you recognize who each of them truly is, because you've begun to recognize who you are.
Wow. See, those are the things. Oh, that's what I always hide, Michael. I'm feeling it coming up, the sadness of hiding that. But writing a letter allows me to say the truth that I know. Whether or not they want to hear it, they don't have to. I do. I need to hear it.
You need to speak it, yeah. Yeah, that'd be my offering. And you know, you can offer it. And how or whether it's not is received is not
mm-hmm.
your business.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you make it so, and then you can do, you know, rejection or whatever. Or you
mm-hmm.
can go, oh, okay. But here's how I am. Here's what I'm choosing. And, yeah, I got that letter you wrote about what you don't really want and all, you know. And the truth is, here I am. I'm delighted to be seeing you and recognizing who you are.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I'm going to listen to this while I write just to remind those ideas I might block out later. Thank you. Oh.
You know, when you realize, I mean, the fact that a human life, I mean, when you recognize, one of the things we've been playing a lot with Aria, we found a new set of videos on YouTube by a kids group, singing group, and they sing about the planets. And it's really cute. But when you recognize that here we are in this galaxy with these five dwarf planets and eight planets plus the sun, and as far as we know, we're the only human beings in this whole structure, and you realize that we get to have a human life
mm-hmm.
where we can communicate as humans to other humans. We can
mm-hmm.
open spaces of healing and support and communication and delight and aliveness. When you realize
mm-hmm.
we're capable of that, it's like, how monumental is that?
Mm-hmm. It is. You're right. That's all
it's
I want to see. Yeah. It's so needed now, too. And I need to do my part in God's plan for salvation. But it's an inside
it's time.
Job.
It's an inside job. You got it.
I mean,
And
all of these people,
and
yes,
the people in your life are going to show you the parts of you that won't allow you to keep that understanding. And remember that you can forgive those parts.
Yes.
How about a mind shifter?
Like the hidden parts, I need. Mm-hmm. They'll help me. I'm trying to keep.
How about a mind shifter?
Yes. Go ahead.
As the people in my life show me the pained parts of my own mind.
Pained parts of my own mind. Okay.
I easily and joyfully breathe.
Okay.
Comma, heal.
Mm-hmm.
And maintain awareness of who I truly am. You know, people say, oh, I'm around that person. They can really bring me down. No, nobody can bring you down unless they're down in you. Then somebody can resonate it. And if they resonate it, you can forgive it and be freed of it rather than lost in it.
Okay.
Good breath.
Yeah.
What was the thought that went with that?
I feel so on the precipice of living this way constantly, you know, and there's the recognition this work is the way, and I can keep it going constantly. And so, and when I don't, I can ask for support.
Absolutely.
Come out of hiding.
Good breath. You got it. Yeah, let's come out of hiding. Let's make this the year, this coming year, the year of coming out of hiding.
Yes. I mean, even in the seeming confrontation of the need to hide all the more because the world's getting scarier. This is just one more level of...
Is the world getting scarier, or is more fear coming up in you?
More fear is coming up in me.
So that your world of perceptual constructs is more and more showing you your fear.
Mm-hmm.
And the beauty of that posture is when I can own that it's my fear, I can forgive it. And stand in a space of courage instead of fear.
Standing in a space of courage. And what?
Instead of fear.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you know, we don't have to have fear just to feel courage.
That's right.
I think the miracle is we don't have to get sick so that we can see that we can heal from sickness because it's not real.
Nope. And you don't have to be sick to get better.
Yes. Okay, so I was starting to write, even as more fear comes up in me, I am committed to being...
Bold and courageous.
Bold and courageous.
As I express my true being. Might be another good mind shifter. By the way, for anybody who's listening, a mind shifter is a tool that we use to show through resonance what's hidden in the mind. You know, if I say don't think about the color of your car, it's going to resonate the color of your car. If I say I am bold and courageous in my life, and there's in my mind in the files on bold and courageous, there's fear and terror and trauma, then that mind shifter is going to bring those things up. And when they come up, that's when I can begin to choose to throw those energetic patterns out to forgive them. And that's that's kind of the bottom line premise of this work. If it's in there, you can throw it out. if you've got the tools. Now, of course, the tools pretty much disappeared from the planet. I don't even know how many centuries ago. So we're just here reestablishing them and working to bring them forward. So delighted that you're part of the process.
Remember, Michael, that expression, energetic devotion?
I remember it. Yeah, that was a good insight for you. That
I still have a desire.
What are you devoted to?
Right. I have a desire to teach that or write that, or, but definitely the first step is to practice.
That would be a great book title.
No.
Go for it.
So I am making a commitment to be more and more devoted to the writing of the book that I am guided to write. Oh, that's so hidingly. I'm fearing I'm hiding from that. Oh well, I'm gonna breathe it through. I'm just gonna keep breathing. The book that I am guided to write.
So you just acknowledged it to us, so know that we're holding space for you to do it.
Yeah, okay, I'll just get an empty notebook and see what comes and how it organizes itself.
Sweet.
I don't have to be figuring it out. I just trust the truth of it, and I feel more empowered by what I've been supported with you today to just trust looking at what I've been devoted to and looking at what I'd rather be devoted to.
There you go. Nice. Yeah. And remember that if you've been devoted to suffering and pain, that it's a process and you apply forgiveness perhaps many, many times to literally remove that suffering and pain so that that courage and confidence has a space to come forward and be expressed.
Okay. That's my homework.
All right. Yeah. Well, we'll hold the space that you're rocking and enjoy it.
It's a worthy assignment and a joy to live. Yes. Okay, Michael, okay. I know you have a few minutes left, but I just need to take a few breaths here and be. Maybe you can give us a meditation or something. I'd really like that if you feel like it.
Okay. We'll see what happens with the phone queue. All right. That's love and blessings.
Thank you.
Okay, Miss Jeannie, we've got about 2 minutes here.
Yep, and there's no other hands up, so...
Well, let's take a minute
close
to just invite everybody to close their eyes and take a big, deep breath. And as you do, I'm going to invite you to take your right hand. I want you to sit upright or stand upright. Take your right hand and put it up on top of your head and let it just slide down right above your ear. So you can kind of take a hold of the side of your head. And I want you to pull your head down with your right hand toward your right shoulder. And allow yourself to breathe. And then allow your eyes to point upward to the left, like you're trying to look up through the left top of your brain, of your cranium. Big breath, stretching the base of the skull away from the spine and just holding gently your head in that position. And then letting your head go back to center and using your left hand. Reach, put your hand on top of your head, then let it just slide over so that your fingers are just above your right ear and gently pull your head down to the left. Stretching your spine ever so gently, look up to the right. The show's going to close out. I'm just going to finish this out and let it just cut off. So as you're holding your head down toward your left shoulder, as far as comfortably can be done, look up to your right side. So you're trying to look up and out through the very top front corner of your head. And that next breath you take, allow it to just expand your whole chest cavity, your belly, so that your spine stretches out and your head moves away from your torso. Your torso moves away from your pelvis. Big breath, let it go, and just let your head to return to center. And know that you are the light of the world. Only light can come to you. Only light can be where you are. And blessings.